I'd like to read a scripture, kind of get our thought, found in the book of Acts, in the first chapter. I think to fill out the understanding of what was going on here, book of Acts, the first chapter, and begin reading at the fourth verse, it says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." According to the scriptures, these are the last words that Jesus spoke before he went up back to his throne in glory. I want us to think about the word or the thought of power this afternoon for just a little bit. I've been thinking about power failure. Power failure can never be a good thing. Thinking about how you can harness power. You can actually harness things that create power. For instance, I've looked out on the wings many a time from the jet I was riding in. And I look at those huge engines out there, and I'm reminded from time to time that one of those engines can generate up to 35,000 pounds of thrust. Means that it's the thrust that pushes the airplane up into the sky, thrust the airplane into the wind going over the wings. Seems to me like it would be going under the wing, but the wind goes over the wing and creates lift, they say. But that plane, it's a huge piece of metal. And then it has all those people on it. And then it has all their luggage on it. And it's amazing. It's always amazed me. I like to watch a jet plane take off. I like to see him going down the runway and coming to the point where the thrust has built up in those engines that it's able to lift up off the ground and fly up into the air. And I think of the power that must be there. It must be there in order for that to happen. If the thrust is not there, the plane will not fly. There's other things that can be harnessed. For instance, water can be harnessed and create a lot of, you can do a lot of things with water, with the power of water. We don't do so much of that maybe anymore. But at one time there was water that pushed the paddle wheel boat down the rivers, and water that was in the grinding mills and those kind of things that give them power, something to be able to turn tables and turn stones and things like that in order to be able to accomplish the deeds that they were trying to accomplish. We have electricity today as one of our most common things that we can probably think of that we harness, and you can harness, when you harness a lot of that electricity, it can create a lot of power. You can light a lot of lights. You can run and generate enough electricity to run a lot of homes and businesses and factories and so forth. So power is a wonderful thing. And it's wonderful for you and I when we have it. But, I don't know if you've ever struggled, but in years past, there's been things that we get involved with, electronics for one thing. And I saw there's a fellow that said he was working, trying to get a DVR set up in order to be able to show a video to the children. And he was working here, plugging in cords here and plugging in cords there, and finally got it set up to the monitor and tried to run it, and nothing happened. Someone come up and looked behind the machine and noticed that it hadn't been plugged in yet. It wasn't plugged into the power source. And that's what I want us to kind of consider today. We must be plugged in to the source of power. You and I cannot handle life today the way life is. The difficulties and the hard things that you and I have to deal with in life, we cannot face those things today without some power greater than us. Greater than any power that we have, it's got to be something that is that will enable us to be able to rise above the circumstances, to rise above the hurts, the heartaches, the sorrows, and those kinds of things. And there's power there. And Jesus told the disciples, he said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And in order for you and I to live a successful walk with the Lord, we've got to have that kind of power in our lives. I wonder if you've ever thought about, or if you've ever wondered what the angels see when they observe you trying to make life work without God's power in your life. Wonder what they see when they look down and see us stumbling around and struggling with life and itself in general, and they see you and I when we don't have God's power working within us. Generally, as we see or think of power, power comes in, this is the way that I look at it, in large capacities, in big things. For instance, you probably have all heard the story about the elephant and the mouse, haven't you? Remember when they came up to the bridge and it was an old rickety bridge there, and the elephant got a look at it, and the mouse, he didn't know whether he should go across or not, but he hopped on the elephant, and the elephant walked across the bridge shaking and rattling. And when he got to the other side, he said to the elephant, he said, "We sure shook that bridge, didn't we?" Something with power makes things happen. It makes things happen. And that's what you and I need today. We need the power of God in our life to make things happen. Something greater than us, bigger than us. Something we can't even see with our natural eyes. But nevertheless, the Lord says, "You will receive it when after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." You and I, we need that power in our personal walk with the Lord, the personal Spirit of Christ that lives within us to lead us and to guide us, to give life and to give me power to be able to overcome the onslaughts and the things that, as the scripture mentions, the fiery darts that the enemy sends our way. But listen to this. When I'm preoccupied with myself, there's a loose cord somewhere. I want us to think about that. When I get preoccupied with what I got to do, my activities, the things that I've got to deal with in life are the things before me. If I get so preoccupied with that, and I'm so focused in on that, there's a loose cord somewhere. There's a loose connection that I will have with God, because in all those things, He doesn't just want to be in your big problems. He doesn't just want to be in the things that you feel like you can't handle. He wants to be in every aspect of our life. He wants to be a part of everything that we do. So, if you don't have a healthy relationship with God, if you're not relying totally and completely on Him, folks. You're not plugged in to the power. You're going to have power failure when you're tired and you're weary and the trials come along and your patience is being involved here. And folks, you're going to need something greater than yourself. You're going to need some power from God. But Jesus is talking about a power here that comes from the Holy Spirit, from the Holy Ghost here, that will come upon you and you can be witnesses. You can live successfully. You can be faithful at your post of duty. I mentioned Wednesday night in my little thought that I was trying to bring forth. I don't like roller coasters. I don't even really like those kind of places, where they call them amusement parks. Never was real crazy about those kind of places, even when I was out in the world. One thing I never did like was the roller coasters. And yet, I know people, I know a man my age or a little bit older said he absolutely loves roller coasters. I don't like roller coasters. Never did. It's just not my thing. It's not my speed. But folks, when it comes to my life and living for the Lord, I don't like roller coasters there either. I don't want a life that is up and down and wishy-washy and here back and forth and all those kind of things. I don't want to be going up in the air and I get up there so high and the next thing I know the big drop comes and you're speeding downhill at 80 miles an hour. I don't want to live that kind of life. I want to live a life that's consistent. A life that when the things come against me, that I'm not expecting that I'll be able to have the power or the grace that I'm going to need to be able to stand true, to be able to stand faithful, and to stay steady. Brother Mark Sammons, some of us that are older here, we remember Brother Mark Sammons. He used to preach a lot in his preaching. He'd say, steady as you go, steady as you go. He said that because he understood how life would treat you. He understood what life does to you and I. He understood how the enemy would come against you and I in so many different ways. Just be steady as you go. How can I be steady as I go? By trusting and putting all my trust and hope in the Lord. Putting it all into His hand. You will receive power. You can trust. You can believe, you can hope in Jesus Christ whenever the Holy Ghost has come upon you and is in you and working in your heart and in your life. It enables me. When I have that power working in my life, folks, it enables me to do the will of God, to show forth His attitudes and fulfill His purpose in our life. And that's what it's really all about. I heard this morning, it isn't about us. It's about Jesus, isn't it? And the Lord wants us to show forth His purpose in our lives. I would like for us to look at a scripture now in Ephesians. Just want to read one verse, I believe, fourth chapter and the seventh verse. Unto every one of us. Now, He doesn't leave anybody out here. He said, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Folks, if you're saved here today, and I believe probably all of us are that are here, if you're saved today, He's going to give you grace. Every one of us, grace is giving according to the measure of the gift of Christ. In other words, His grace, it's not that it's unlimited, folks, but He gives us enough grace according to the measure of Jesus Christ that you and I can live as we ought to be able to live in this life. It probably, grace here, can possibly mean the gracious influence of the Holy Spirit. He's going to give you and I the influence of the Holy Spirit that we can be successful in our walk with the Lord, that we can live a consistent life, and it will be the grace that He gives us operating in our hearts, in our minds, and in our lives to help you and I to be faithful witnesses. He said you will be witnesses, to be faithful witnesses and workers for the Lord. The gift of the grace of God, folks, is not originated within ourselves. It doesn't begin there. It originates in the plan of salvation. It originates, the grace that you and I receive from God originates from being filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit of Christ, that we can have power to live right, to walk right, to act right, to have the right attitudes, to say the right things, to do the right things, to be the examples that we ought to be before our loved ones that are lost and unsaved, before the world that we live in the communities, in all parts of our walk of life. It doesn't originate from within me, but it comes from God. It's something that I must get from God. And he said here, according to the measure, which tells me that it's not unlimited, but it's measured. It's measured to each and every one of us. He gives us the grace that we need when we need it. It's just like in the body of Christ, there are gifts that are given in the body. The gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. Bible teaches that, 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. The gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. There's gifts in the Bible. You may have a gift. I may have a gift. We all may have a gift. We've all got something that God has given us that we can bless God with. We've all got something that we can do for the Lord. And if we have that gift, it doesn't mean. Now you think about it. You may not quite understand what I'm about to say. It doesn't mean that gift's going to be on display at all times. It doesn't mean that 24 hours a day or 24/7 that you're going to have be called upon to exercise yourself in that gift. It says here, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. There's people in the Bible, we could go through the book of Acts and we could find different people. Back in the days of the early church, and Agabus comes to my mind. Agabus had a gift that it wasn't used all the time. As far as we know, he didn't have a pulpit ministry. But nevertheless, he stood up at a time when there was a famine coming. And he stood up and he warned the people. He said, next year about this time, I believe that's the way he said it, there's going to be a famine come upon this land and we need to lay up and we need to prepare. And they listened to him. They believed what he had to say. But he didn't have a pulpit ministry as far as we know. But God moved upon him, gave him the measure that he needed of grace to God, for God to be able to use him. You will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. They believed him, and when the famine came, sure enough, they had provisions laid up and they were prepared for the famine because they listened to the Word of God. That's the way God works with you and I today. According to the measure of the grace, or given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. He gives us what we need to enable us to live as we ought to live. Sometimes you try to do things. Have you ever tried to do something literally and you just struggle with it? Just isn't working the way that you want it to work. God gives us the grace, folks. We don't have to struggle in living for the Lord. It does not have to be a struggle to live for the Lord. We face an enemy every day. We face our trials and our tests, but it does not have to be a struggle to live for the Lord. I know the devil would like for us to struggle, but I believe salvation was meant for us to enjoy. I believe salvation was meant for you and I to be happy. I believe it was meant for you and I to be successful. And that's why Jesus told the disciples there before he left, the last thing he said to them, you're going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. But he told them first, tarry ye here in Jerusalem until the Spirit comes. Folks, there's times where people aren't tarrying like they should. They're not waiting before the Lord. They're not seeking the Lord. They're going along in their own mind, full head of steam, without the power that they need to be able to deal with those things. But we need to tarry. We need to wait on the Lord until the Lord comes and meets us and gives us the things that you and I need to be able to be successful in this life. All of us, every one of us, have different places to fill in this life. I can't fulfill your role. I can't do what God has called you to do. And you can't do what God has called me to do. And He's called us all to work for Him. But He hasn't called us without giving us the tools that we need. He hasn't called us and told us to go out into the world and do the things that God is wanting His people to do without giving us the power that we need to be able to face the enemy of our souls, to be able to deal with the spirits that there is to deal with in our world today. You and I have seen spirits today that have been turned loose that were not turned loose back in the days of the older brother. Back in the days of the church, and I'm talking 50, 60 years ago, you and I are dealing with spirits today they didn't have to deal with. Folks, the world is getting more evil all the time. The sin of the people, it says that the sins of my people have eaten them up. The sins are getting greater. The people are getting more wicked. Their hearts are getting more hard. And that's what you and I have to deal with today. As we deal with our own children, with our own families, our own loved ones sometimes, you need some power. You and I need to be plugged in. This is no time to have power failure, folks. But it's a time to be strong and to be faithful and to be true. Jesus said this, didn't he? He said, take my yoke upon you. Take his yoke upon us, folks. And he said, learn of me. Take his yoke and learn of him. Because it doesn't originate from within you. But it originates from a desire within your heart to want more of his power and more of his spirit working in your life. It springs from a desire. I was thinking of the scripture. It's the first verse of 122nd Psalm. It said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Been thinking about that some this week. Folks, I want to tell you this morning, you get your mind upon the heavenly things. Get the mind on the things that are important, the things that are eternal, which is your soul. And the souls of those that you love, get your mind set on those things. Folks, when you just love the desire or the idea of going into the house of God, it's a place where we worship Him. It's a place where He said He would meet with us and He would bless us and be in our assembly, didn't He? Where two or three were met together, He'd be there in the midst. I was so glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Folks, when you put Him first, when you love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you put your whole self into that thing, you're going to have some power that the devil cannot withstand. You're going to have some power. You're going to be able to face the onslaught of the enemy and all that he's trying to do to you and against you. You know, also, I want to put right in here, we see folks today, some folks, that have such a shallow experience in their walk with the Lord. There's folks, and I know I've had them come to me and talk to me and ask me why we do this and why we do that. They don't fully understand sometimes the things that we teach. Or that the Bible teaches. Or the standards that the church holds. They don't fully understand that. But they're trying to do it. They're trying to live that way, but they really don't understand it. Folks, this is where the power comes. The power comes from a divine revelation of the Holy Spirit teaching you and I how to walk holy, godly, and successfully in this life. And righteously in this life. That's where it comes from. People need to be connected. There's some power failure there somewhere. And therefore people struggle. They struggle with things that they really don't have to struggle with. Lord, help me understand. Help me to get to know you more personally. Help me in my relationship with you. I need you, Jesus. As the car is going down the highway, says baby on board, folks, we need Jesus on board. We need the Holy Spirit on board. Working in our life. We can't, none of us. There isn't any of us here can be successful without it. But we gotta have it, don't we? How do I stay plugged in? How do I stay successful in my walk with the Lord? Folks, it's really very simple. I've always called it Salvation 101. Just 101. Just simple. People like to make things as difficult as they can sometimes. Thinks it's some great, hard, difficult thing that I can't get a hold of or that I can't understand. Salvation is for every one of us. The Holy Spirit was given for every one of us. To all people, it says, unto every one of us is grace given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. What we do and how we get a hold of this and how we keep this is through prayer. Prayer. Intercessory prayer. Seeking God for His will in my life. Seeking God for His power in my life. Power to overcome self. Help me, Lord, not to be independent. But help me to understand I'm dependent. Folks, we're dependent upon God. Every one of us are, aren't we? We're dependent on God. How you praying? How you praying in your secret closet? How you seeking the Lord for something, a deeper life? For a deeper walk? When the Lord, when the disciples was out there fishing and the Lord come along and they hadn't caught anything, what did He tell them to do? He said, launch out into the deep, didn't He? Launch out, get into the deep water over there. But Lord, we fished all night, but nevertheless, and we haven't caught a thing, but at Your word, we're going to do it. Folks, that's what He's telling us today. Launch out into the deep. You shall receive power. He didn't say you might. You shall. You will receive power when you receive the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ in your life. We need to spend more time. And I say we, I'm including myself in this, folks. We need to spend more time reflecting on the Holy Word of God. Thinking of the Word of God. Folks, it's a light unto our pathway. It's a lamp to our feet. And we need to spend time reflecting, just thinking on the Word of God, shutting out the world, shutting out my problems, shutting out my hurts and my heartache, my trials and my struggles, and just reflect, read and meditate upon the things of God, upon His Word. You want to stay plugged in? You need to do those things. You need to pray. You need to read His Word. And you need to have a complete reliance on His power. On His power. And not your own. We need His power today, folks. Folks, I've had people tell me, I've gotten phone calls. Brother, please pray for me. This thing is such as it is that if the Lord doesn't do something soon, I'm going to have to do something. I'm gonna have to do something. Folks, let me tell you something. You want some real blessings in your connection with the Lord? You want real blessings to your soul? You wait on Him. And you let Him work. And you let Him have His way. You be resigned to His will and His purpose. Hey, what does the scripture say? Wait on the Lord and he shall renew your strength. Ye shall mount up with wings as eagles. Ye shall run and never faint. How can we do that? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit working within us and allowing the Lord to have his way and work his purpose in whatever it is that he's doing in my life. It's not always, I'm not telling you, I'm not standing here telling you it's always easy. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it's easy. But folks, if you want to be successful, you completely rely on the power of God. Completely rely on his divine grace that he will minister to you as you need it, when you need it. Look at another scripture, 14th chapter, talking about this psalm. 14th chapter of the book of John. In the 15th verse, he said, Jesus speaking here, if you love me, keep my commandments. Pretty simple, isn't it? Do you love the Lord? Oh, yes, I love the Lord. And I've said it here before. Edith Flynn, bless her heart, the Lord took her several years ago as a young woman. I was asking her, I could see she was discouraged. And I asked her one time, she lived in Louisiana. I said, Edith, how you doing? She said, well, I'm trying. I'm trying. And I said, why don't you stop trying and give it to the Lord? You stop trying. What did Paul encourage Timothy? Thou therefore, my son, be strong. Don't be strong in yourself, but be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And I remember saying that to her before, as we were getting ready to walk in the chapel one evening. I said, why don't you quit trying and just give it to the Lord and let the Lord work in your life? And I want to tell you something. She got a hold of that. I saw a change in that young woman. She got a hold of it. She was in her very early 20s. She had sugar, diabetes. And she was struggling with a lot of things, as you can imagine. But I want to tell you, she got down. I wasn't there. I didn't see it in person. But I know from the results, she got down to business with God. And she got some power in her life to be able to trust the Lord. And the Lord took her as a very young woman. But it was his will or he wouldn't have done it. The thing that I want to point out is she submitted to his will. She turned it over to him and God took care of her and she's been enjoying something you and I haven't been able to enjoy yet for a long time. She's been enjoying her paradise with God. I believe she's there. I spoke at her funeral. I believe she's there. I believe she was successful and you and I can only be successful after we turn it all over to the Lord. After we turn it over to the Lord, you will receive power. And that's what we need is power, isn't it? Lord, help us to know how to harness that power in our own heart, in our own lives. If you love me, Lord, help us to love you more, to serve you better. You know, I've been thinking so many different things lately. I think about our young people a lot in the church, and I pray for them a lot. You know, people tend to live life in the way that they've been conditioned. We have a lot of young people that grew up in saints' homes and they've been conditioned that way. We have people out in the world that grew up in their society and their elements and how that they lived in their homes and they've been conditioned that way. Those people are hard to reach today. And I want to encourage us older ones here. And you probably already are, but I want to encourage us older ones here. Pray for our young people. It means something, doesn't it? To be willing to take the truth. To be willing to stand for the truth. It means something to develop a love for the truth. Not many doing that today. They don't have to go this way, folks. They don't have to. But we need to pray that the Lord would protect them and bless them and encourage them as they are challenged with the things you and I were challenged with when we were young. And they're challenged with life, and they're challenged with struggles, and things don't go the way that they always would like for them to go. There are challenges out there. And our young people are so important. They're gold in the church, folks. And they're so important, and we need to pray the Lord will bless them. They don't have to take this way. They don't have to. But I thank God for everyone that is. And I appreciate every one of them today. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, Jesus said. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. We know what that comforter is, don't we? That he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, ye shall receive power. Here it is. Jesus talking about it. You shall, and even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. It's only the people that can see, folks. It's not for the world. This power that Jesus gave that said that told the disciples we would receive, it isn't for the world. It's for God's people. Because the world seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Shall be in you. No matter where you go. Preacher won't always be there. Nobody else may always be there. But he'll be there because he's in you. And you take him with you everywhere you go. I will not leave you comfortless, and I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Praise the Lord. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Folks, I don't know about you, but those words right there give me a very warm fuzzy, as they call it. It warms my heart. God loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his Son. And how did he say that again? If you love me and keep my words, my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Oh, I was thinking so many things this morning as I sat and listened to the word go forth. This Jesus that was willing to come here and leave his glory, I pictured him. I pictured him in my mind this morning, sitting there on a hill, looking down at Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you together as a hen doth her chicks, but you would not. Now your house is left unto you desolate. You wouldn't. The world will not receive him, folks. The world will not receive him. But you and I that have love him, and he said, and keep his commandments. My Father will come, and I will come, and we will be in you and with you. Folks, there's the power. That's why. That's how we can live that consistent life. That's how we can be faithful in all the struggles that we have. That's why I said to you one morning several weeks ago, we just come to service, or if I go from here to California or here to Oklahoma or wherever I go and see the saints, I expect them to be there. I just expect them to stay saved, because it'll work if you'll work it. if you have a love for it, if you're one of those that can say in your heart, I was so glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It'll work, folks. May not talk to each other for a long time. Oh, there's folks that I don't see for months or maybe a year or two. But the next time I see them, it seems like it's just like no. There's been no time lapse. You give a hug one to another and you start talking about things and God and all that kind of stuff. And you just, your hearts are just melt together again. Just melted together again. My Father will come. He that loveth me not, unplugged, and keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, this is important to every one of us today. I'm here with you now, Jesus told his disciples. He also told him he was going to leave, didn't he? He was going to go away. But he said, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, the power that I'm going to send to you, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He's going to be there to help you, folks. Bring things to your remembrance. Bring you comfort. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why would we let our heart be troubled? Why would we be afraid? My Father will come and live in you, and I will come and live in you. And I will be with you. And the Comforter will lead you and guide you into all truth. Folks, he didn't leave us. He didn't leave us defenseless. Jesus didn't leave us. He gave us the tools, the things that we would need to live successfully here for the Lord. He gave us these things. And I want to encourage you this afternoon. Take advantage of them. Take advantage of them. Stay plugged in. Keep up your prayer life. Keep reading the Word of God. Keep drawing near to God. As we mentioned this a while ago, draw nigh to God. He's going to draw nigh to us. That's what he said. And Lord, we surely do need you to draw near to us. Lord, help us not to have blinders on. You know, they put blinders on horses so they can't see what's happening on either side and they'll stay a straight path. You and I need to always see the big picture, which will contribute to the source of our success. And I know that we all have a desire to be successful, that we want to be faithful in all that we do. I think about Paul said over there in one place, he said that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Lord, help us this afternoon, folks. You want to be filled with all of his fullness. Get more of the Holy Spirit. A greater, Brother Mark used to pray it, a greater measure and a greater way in my life. I want more. I've heard people say, well, once you have him, you can't get any more. Yeah, I believe you can get more of his presence. I believe that you can die out to self, that you can get victory over your own self, and that you can get more of God in his presence. And you know, I believe that with all my heart, that you can get more and more of his presence. And we, everyone, need that. I want us all to be successful. The Lord wants us to be successful, successful. Remember what he told Peter? Satan has desired to have you to sift you as wheat. You think Satan ain't got your name? He's got your name and he's got your number. And he's all over us, isn't he? Sometimes seems like he comes in like a flood, doesn't he? but the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. And the Lord told Peter, basically, after you failed, he knew he was going to fail. Peter could have said, Lord, if you know I'm going to fail, pray that I won't fail. No, Peter needed to see himself. Sometimes the Lord allows us to fail so we'll see ourselves. There's things that God can do for you and I that our will don't have to act on it. But there are things that God wants to do to bring you and I into a deeper walk with Him that He needs our will to act upon. Here it is, Larry. This is what you need to deal with right here. And then those things I need to take to the Lord. Say, Lord, I see it now. I need victory over it. Satan's been sifting me. He's been abusing me because of my weakness or my failure here. And I see it now, Lord. Folks, he not only prayed for Peter, but he prayed for us too. Not only them, he said, that took him at his word, but them that will believe. He prayed for us too. He said, but I have prayed for thee. I have prayed for thee that after you've been renewed, you will go and strengthen the brethren. May the Lord help us today. We're all human in the flesh. The flesh is so weak, it's our biggest struggle in life, is our flesh. But the Bible does teach us to walk in the Spirit, that we don't let this flesh have its way. We don't have to let this flesh have its way, folks. We can get victory in our souls, and we can have power. Power. Great power, folks. 35,000 pounds thrust and greater than that to lift you and I up higher than all of our struggles and our trials and our tests and battles in life. Be encouraged, folks. Keep pressing the battle on. It's a fight. There's no doubt about it. It's a fight. But I've always heard that anything worth having is worth fighting for. If it's worth having, it's worth fighting for. If it's something that's good for me, folks, I can tell you right now, the devil doesn't want me to have it. But if I want it, I'm going to have to fight for it. I want to fight the good fight of faith that I might be able to lay hold on eternal life. Lord, help us all to be successful soldiers for Him. Be faithful at our post. Thank you. Amen.